We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Happy Sports Saturday. Almost entirely Sports Saturday. I think that's what we're going to call these whenever I'm in here.
It's been a while.
It has been a little while. I know you've all gotten used to the one and only Brad Porter, but it's me today. So take that, haters. It is Chris Bohlig, though, still hitting all the buttons. We got a lot of things we can talk about today, which is very exciting. It has been a little while since I've been awake and on the radio this early, because I've gotten very accustomed to being awake and on the radio very late. And so the last night to this morning pivot is something that we're all going to kind of work through together. Like, it looks like it's about 70 degrees in the studio. I can't totally see the thermostat from here perfectly, but I am sweating. Why am I sweating? My only best guess is that it is fatigue related. Who was it that was in the
Felix
sports?
Hernandez.
Felix Hernandez pulled himself from a rehab
31
start.
Pitches he pulled himself out for fatigue.
Yeah. So right now I'm in a moment where I'm sweating for some reason, and I'm feeling the pain of Felix Hernandez. We will not make you, though, dear listener, feel the pain today, because we're going to have a great, wonderful time talking about things like the most interesting two bits of audio that I think came out of Chiefs minicamp this week. The NBA Finals and where everyone in that conversation goes. Plus, we'll talk to Matt Derrick about the Chiefs, Michael Swain of 247sports.com about Kansas and the news out of that program from the last week or so, plus maybe news that everyone there is holding their breath about. So we'll talk to him about all of that at 10, Matt Derrick at 11. At some point in there, you're going to have to confront Chris's bites. Excuse me, bites. That makes that's much better.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just misread the notes.
We'll get after it.
So anything that you think, oh, well, I wonder if I heard all of the best things from the world of sports this week. If you didn't, you will have by the end of the show today. I have like a very serious string of very serious Chiefs takes that we will eventually get to. But when I woke up this morning, checked out Twitter, as I tend to do, and if you get on Twitter right now, or frankly any point within the next week or so, you're probably going to see O.J. Simpson tweeting and trending and making his Twitter debut. Now don't... Oh, no. So the aforementioned Brad Porter bit on this earlier. Seth Kaiser, our friend of every show ever, I think now has bit on a fake OJ account because there's a tweet that just says, "I killed her," that has 13,000 retweets and climbing at the moment. And that one's not real. But the other account I don't believe has gotten verified yet, which is, you know, probably problematic. Yeah, it's not. But there's a video of OJ who's, you know, saying this is the real Twitter account, which is at the real OJ32. The problem is someone has made an account that's called the real OJ32, but the L in real is a capitalized I. And that one's causing a bit of a stir. In fact, we very well might get to a point here where that one ends up with more Twitter followers than the real one, because this one is getting murder confessions retweeted. The real one is just a video, a selfie video. However, the video is fantastic. Do we have the audio ready to go here, Chris? Excellent. So late last night, most of us are waking up and seeing it this morning. O.J. Simpson made his Twitter debut with this video announcing his presence to the world.
On the Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions. Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Now, if you just swerved into a ditch, I get it. The thing this fake account is doing brilliantly is they've reposted the video, and they've taken the name, and it's been very well executed. That was poor choice words, probably. Could we get the last like 10 seconds again here, Chris? Just sort of the sign off. He's on Twitter. There are a lot of fake OJ accounts. So the real OJ is on Twitter because he what?
Now there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Hello?
Wow.
OJ
Simpson back. He's like he's never left. He did sound like he is a psychopath in that. You could see how fake that was. That was like classic. You know when all the OJ documentaries when he'd do those like Hertz commercials?
Mm-hmm.
And he would do like, oh, this fake, like that is exactly
this
how that
is,
sounded.
This is his presenter voice.
Yeah.
That wasn't a live video. He could have gone, ooh, I probably shouldn't have said that, and then just reposted it. Just done another one and just said, this is the real OJ account. I'm glad to be here. I got some tweeting to do. I got some splaining to do. I've got literally anything to do other than getting even. The one thing that I definitely cannot do is sign on and say that I've got some getting even to do.
That was what he said in the tweet, right? Or was
that's the sign off? Yeah,
that's
the sign off is I got some getting even to do. God bless.
For all those people that have slighted OJ over there,
yeah,
he's got to get even.
Look out! He's coming for his revenge. Wait a second. Hold on. Like clearly. It does look like it's because it's definitely a selfie video, and it's his only tweet, and he hasn't gotten verified yet, so I imagine this was just OJ deciding, you know what, I'm tired of all these fake accounts, I'm going to get on here and I'm going to fix all this, and I would imagine that nobody watched that video until he posted it, and by that point, whoever is in OJ's corner did not have the time to get to him.
His PR person was not around when this video was put out.
He follows 4 people. This checks out, right? USC football, the Heisman Trophy.
Buffalo Bills, I'm assuming?
No.
Oh!
They gave his number away.
Sorry, Bills Mafia.
Justin Simpson. Son, maybe? Real estate agent. Gotta be a relation of some sort. And Malcolm Laverne, who is at Sin City Attorney.
If you need an attorney in Las Vegas, make sure you hit up, what's his name, Sin City Attorney?
At Sin City Attorney.
Okay.
His cover photo is him and OJ. In I think it was the appeals hearing when he finally did
when he
get
with
cleared.
All the with the armed robbery.
No. Recently, whenever getting out from his last parole hearing, the end of his bio says, "And yes, the juice's lawyer." So, what do you think OJ's lawyer thought whenever he got followed by OJ on Twitter? Because I'm guessing if you're OJ's lawyer, you can't be super excited to see that OJ has signed on to Twitter, created an account, and made a video that signs off with, I've got some getting even to do.
I don't think that guy really cares that much. He's already made his money. Like, I mean.
But I disagree. His cover photo is literally him and OJ. This is his meal ticket, man. This is his claim to fame.
He's probably going off the basis of, hey,
oh, never mind. Nope. I got, you know what? Nope. Sorry. I'm cutting you off because I have the answer now. I don't have to speculate anymore. I clicked his account. All right. So this guy's a crazy person, also. He quote tweeted the video, said this is the real OJ account, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Verification coming soon, dot, dot, dot. Can't be without social media in this day and age. And then signs off just with M, because that's for Malcolm, I imagine. He's signing off on his tweets. Then the next tweet from 2 hours ago from OJ Simpson's lawyer says, wow. Mr. Simpson, at TheRealOJ32, just got on Twitter late last night, posted one tweet, and now almost has nearly 50,000 Twitter followers early the next morning. It isn't even verified yet. To all the haters, take notice, M. He once again enjoys signing off with the first letter of his name. OJ now has 77,000 Twitter followers, 77.6, actually. Now I gotta go ahead and 77,000.6, and also me.
Watching his every move.
Well, I mean, whenever, because here's the thing, and you know what? Maybe this is the greatest marketing that OJ could have possibly done for himself. If his first tweet just says, hey, this is OJ, and this is whatever he said, like, this, you're going to be able to get my thoughts and opinions on everything or whatever he said, I would not have followed OJ, I don't think. On Twitter, at least. Car chase, maybe. But because he signed off with, I've got some, one more time, Chris. Just one more time. Because you just can't play this audio enough. If someone's gotten into their car in the last 10 minutes, you may have missed. OJ Simpson's on Twitter. This was how he signed off his first video.
So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
God bless.
I mean, that could have been, he could be cast in like Jordan Peele's next horror movie. Just, I got some getting even to do. And some suspenseful music. Because he signed off like that, promising to get even with some people, you would be a crazy person to not follow OJ's Twitter account. It's the only Twitter account that matters.
But at this point, who does he have to get like? He escaped prison. Like, he got off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back to prison for mm-hmm. something so stupid for mm-hmm. armed. It's like, you had this chance. How do you mess it up again? But I mean, he is a sociopath. Like, this guy is crazy.
Well,
like, that does not surprise me whatsoever.
I think you've answered your own question here.
Yeah. Like,
which is, you got out of jail and then went to jail. How would you do anything that could potentially send you back to jail? Oh, right. Because of the thing I just said.
He still thinks he's untouchable.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like,
1,000%. Like, there was a tweet from Karamo from Queer Eye, who was like, listen, he used his full name. It's like, listen, you, OJ, someone's got to tell you, you do not need to be on Twitter. Just get off Twitter. It's okay. You're not a lifestyle brand. You don't have to be on Twitter. And dude, the replies have also been absolutely outstanding, obviously. Like, this is a fertile ground for Twitter jokes. Most of them, though, are just quoting the actual tweet and his promise to get even with a few people. You know, lots of people were like, whenever Adam Schefter or Woj tweets anything, someone responds with like, Adam, Woj, my wife left me, what do I do? There's one here that just says, OJ, my wife left me, any advice? And it has a little bit of a different tone in this particular tweet. Hey, OJ, big fan. I'm in need of a pair of gloves. What's your favorite place to purchase them from? Someone responded too soon. The response back again was, it's been 25 years. Wait a second. Was that Kawhi laughing? Is that Kawhi's laugh?
Who do you think that is?
I think it's Kawhi. I think there's too much going on. I don't think it is actually Kawhi, but it sounds like Kawhi.
It is not.
Is it OJ from something?
No, it's Andrew Luck.
Oh, yes! This is from the
him talking with.
Is this a tease of a Bullock bite?
No, this was a Bullock bite from like a few weeks ago,
okay,
and
I've
took it from
first.
I took it from that. It was when he was with Tom Hanks.
Yes. And he was reading books to kids, and Tom Hanks was making jokes, and Andrew Luck was laughing
Andrew
too hard.
Luck was just. It was just so funny.
Yeah. So play this again. you could, because you can hear Tom Hanks telling a joke in the background there. That's a real thing that's happening in that audio.
Yes.
Andrew Luck laughs like Kawhi Leonard after like churning butter for 3 hours, like an Amish turned up Kawhi. I think that's pretty much all I got.
Or like when Kawhi sees like a coupon book.
That's not bad. That's not terrible.
I wonder if he's still driving that like Chevy Tahoe. That's like really, you know how he's like very minimalistic in terms
flip
of
flip phone. I think partially it's technology. I bet he doesn't live in a hut. I bet he's got a nice.
Well, I mean,
house.
He has a nice house, but I'm saying like his like he said he drives like a early 2000s Chevy Tahoe or something like that.
That makes sense. Last tweet from the thread here, and then eventually we'll probably talk about the Chiefs. Someone asked, how'd you get the nickname OJ? And then the next response was, oh, murder, J murder. Someone responded saying, oh, just kill me now. Oh, nope, bleep. That's just an expression. I'm not here for no beef. It's still a good question, Chris. Who does OJ need to get even with at the moment?
That's what I'm saying.
It's certainly
I don't
not
understand.
Karma. He's still definitely got a positive plus minus in the karma division.
I don't know. This is just it's not surprising at all. I mean, but who like legitimately? Who does he have to? What vendetta does he have against whoever?
Like, I literally have no idea. I'm trying to solve, like, is it going to be, like, now listen, I will say, if you see that video, and I can't remember the guy's name that put together the 30 for 30 that was 1,000 hours long, like, won an Oscar.
Five Parsers, that was awesome. That was
what was
great.
The director's name?
I can't remember.
Let's see. Twitter's amazing. It was, bleep me. Come on. I searched for the director. Give me the name of the director. Ezra Edelman.
Yes.
If you're Ezra Edelman right now, like, maybe you don't feel super cool and great. Maybe you stay inside for, like, a week or a month or the rest of your life. Cause, like, does he feel wronged by the 30 for 30?
There's a TV show, too.
Does he feel wronged by the people versus OJ? Does he feel misrepresented? Vilified? Unfairly? There's like a third way to talk about this story that I just don't think we're going to get to today. So I think today is for laughing at that audio, and then maybe Monday will be for one of the other approaches. But if you weren't on Twitter last night, maybe you haven't checked it yet this morning, this is how we begin our weekend, everybody, with O.J. Simpson on Twitter saying that he needs to get even with some people. A personal vendetta. Don't know where. Don't know what. Don't know who needs to be afraid. But that's how we started today's show. And frankly, I think we murdered it.
So God bless. Take care.
It is Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810. I am Joshua Briscoe in with you today. I'm going to be here next week also across the glass from Chris Bullock, hitting all the buttons and DJing and constantly throwing curveballs that I'm never totally prepared for.
That song's awesome.
What are we playing today, Chris? What's on the jukebox?
It's a little Old Man Canyon, and the song is It Just Comes and Goes, and it's a pretty vibey track for a little Saturday morning groove.
I just have, for all of the 50,000 shows that I'm regularly doing, almost entirely sports and all of its different modes and time slots and stations, We basically have, I mean, this is partially on me because I don't let Beards add music. I mean, like, let is the wrong word, but like Beards doesn't add music, and I think he knows that I don't really care for his musical taste all that much. It's not a secret. But I haven't added any music in a long time, so I just end up with the same, like, 30 songs maybe, just kind of rotating through. And whenever you do, you know, 30 segments a day, you crawl through all those pretty quick.
Yeah, I try to, you know, mix it up every...
You bring, you
know,
the variety.
I try to bring variety. I mean, I was a DJ in college, so I tried to... Oh, I like music a lot, so I try to find some new stuff and throw it in there and put it in the system, and I don't know. Yeah.
Did you see Captain Marvel? I'm currently getting an ad for it on the TV, one of the TVs in here.
I did not.
I didn't see it either. And I did see Endgame, obviously, because I'm a, you know, living, breathing human being. Did you see Endgame?
I still haven't seen Endgame
yet.
Oh,
my God, Chris.
I have to.
Leave right now.
I know. I should just leave.
Leave right now.
I should just leave.
Just put it in auto. I'll stay because I'm supposed to be here. I'll just sit here. I'll definitely be here until noon. I definitely won't go home.
I heard it was phenomenal, though, so I have to whenever. Is it on DVD yet?
No. No, I don't think. I think Captain Marvel's coming out right now. That's what all these
commercials
are for.
Okay, yeah, I've seen those
commercials. Do you buy DVDs? Are you looking
like
a Redbox existence?
Redbox or something like that.
Okay, so Redbox, like, I have a spot in my heart for, but I haven't bought a Redbox or gotten a Redbox in an extremely long time. Do you know what happens in Endgame? Like, whenever, you know, Daenerys just burns down King's Landing? Like, are you going to, like, did I just need to give a spoiler alert just then?
You know I watched Game of Thrones.
I know, that's why I felt comfortable saying that. Do you know what happens to the Starks? What am I talking about, huh?
Ooh.
What am I talking about? Ooh. Which show am I talking about, Chris?
You're just trying to confuse me.
I'm talking about both of them.
You're just trying to confuse me.
Both the Avengers universe and the Game of Thrones universe has some things happen to some Starks. Spoiler alert, you heard me.
That's okay. I'm trying to find a new show on HBO to start.
Have you gone to Chernobyl yet?
Okay, I
not
watched
literally
the first,
to the place of Chernobyl,
did you see,
but to
I tweeted
the...
this. I was
no.
so mad about.
I'll follow you on Twitter.
You do.
No.
Okay, but Chernobyl, I watched the first episode, haven't watched the rest of it because everyone has British accents in it. I'm like, this is so unrealistic. I'd rather you just do talk in Russian and then have subtitles. Like, that would be way better for me.
So it wouldn't have been as popular, though. People hate subtitles.
Yeah, but people have been complaining because no one wants to hear people in British accents. At least have like a Russian or Eastern European accent.
Well, so I remember hearing something about this where they had talked about, I think they may have even tested it, like Russian and with subtitles, Russian accents and everything. And I think the verdict was that, like, it would have been too distracting, which is kind of a weird thing because...
It was distracting because they all sounded like they were from United Kingdom.
Yeah, no, that is relevant and very strange. That is a strange directorial choice. It's surprising to me that, like, knocked you off the pedestal of being interested in watching it. I haven't watched any of it yet because I'm typically in one of, like, three moods TV-wise at this point. It's either trying to finish Parks and Rec, restarting BoJack Horseman, or just watching YouTube videos. I don't know if it's an attention span thing or if it's like a length of time thing.
Hard.
It's difficult. And it's difficult for me to start even a mini series like Chernobyl. I have not yet.
You should watch the first season of True Detective.
I've seen the first season of True Detective.
That's actually really
good.
Yes,
that was excellent.
I'm going to start The Wire, I think, again. I watched the first two seasons, but I had to go back to school, and I stopped, so I'm probably going to watch The Wire.
That's interesting. Were you a Sopranos guy at any point?
I've never started The Sopranos.
Me neither.
But The Wire is actually really good. I just had to go back to school and was really busy.
I don't know if I want a huge, like, series to binge, or at least a drama like that. I will probably watch Arrested Development after I finish Parks and Rec.
That's
and then
very good show.
Always Sunny, probably.
Always Sunny's awesome.
I haven't seen either of those, and I do like kind of just having that to passively kind of binge through. But I also will like decide that I'm going to just watch, you know, maybe it's 11 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, let's watch an episode of Parks and Rec and then probably, you know, peace out and go to bed. But then 3 hours later, I've watched like six episodes, and I could have just watched a movie. But I didn't because I never am able to control my viewing time.
I don't watch TV anymore. I just watch The Royals every night. That's my TV.
I don't think I can handle anything that depressing. Oh, you're going to take this opportunity?
I have to do all the pregame, I have to watch the games.
Which, by the way, not true. Do you want to come in and do it Monday and Tuesday night at, I think, 8 o'clock?
You can Why are you... I thought you weren't going to do that. I thought you guys were just going to do your show.
No. No, it's on the schedule. We got to play those sponsors, baby.
Get those sponsors.
Got to get those sponsors. What time is baseball tonight today?
It's at 5.
Is that you today?
Yeah, and
well,
tomorrow,
exciting.
So we're going to get after it.
You got big plans for noon to 5?
Go home.
Okay, very good. And coming back. Excellent. Do you want to take this opportunity to discuss the thrill that is everybody getting a little bony in their life? A little Jorge Bonifacio action?
How about Lucas Duda, though? That's the real...
I can't.
Get after it. Lucas Duda in the lineup last night, first base.
The day...
That is a... When the lineup card came out...
Did you think you were getting punked?
The Twins were shaking in their boots.
Oh, yeah.
That power, raw power in the lineup.
No, I saw the lineup for yesterday, and I just imagined I think I saw Lesky tweeted out first. I just thought Lesky was just having a nice, fun time. I thought I was going to see Chris Owings in there somewhere. I thought I might see Jeff Francoeur in the lineup just because he was just making a goof. And no, the Royals lineup yesterday was legitimately hilarious. Like, Lucas Duda and Jorge Bonifacio
at least got the start, baby. Francoeur was serviceable in the outfield. Like, Lucas Duda is not a good first baseman, and he can't hit.
I mean,
so
they have to just be trying to play him for someone to trade for him again.
I think Ned Yost is just saying that he's only going to be up until Dozier is fully healthy and back in the lineup.
That's what they were saying about Bonifacio, and not Duda.
Bonifacio, my bad. Yeah, it was Bonifacio. Duda, they sent down Ryan O'Hearn.
Yes.
So he's...
Which is fine.
Understand why you just wouldn't put Chesler Cuthbert at third and then put Dozier at first.
That would be fine with me.
And then Soler DH and then put Witt in right field.
I actually wouldn't mind... Oh, yeah, because Witt was back at second yesterday. And
yeah.
Nicky Lopez was playing shortstop. What are we doing? I actually enjoy the part of just unbelievably long ass season that involves bringing up guys to get a second chance in the major league level after getting sent down at some point. But Jorge Bonifacio, Bonifacio was actually my preseason guy I wanted to see get playing time in right field just because I feel like he's got a better chance than a guy like Brett Phillips of going like, oh, he can hit for power. Like, he showed us something this year, and he has been one of the worst players in minor league baseball this year.
He's hitting like 190.
And then to come, I think it's not that high.
I think I checked yesterday.
I don't think he's hitting that
Bonifacio
well.
In AAA, I thought he was hitting like 190, and then his on base was like 250.
I think it's lower than that. I'm pulling up a tweet here. He is from Patrick Brennan, who's at Painting Corner on Twitter. He says, out of 104 qualified PCL hitters, Bonifacio ranks 104th in what's WRC plus? It's wins.
I can't remember what it is.
Runs created? Something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. 97th in OPS and 104th in OBP. He's been the worst hitter in the PCL this year, and he brings little defensive value via Patrick. He's been terrible, and I still kind of low-key am glad they brought him up because I would like to at least be able to get a real verdict on him. But since the whole, horse steroid situation, he's been truly atrocious. And so I wasn't exactly clamoring for the call-up as of, 2 days ago. David Lesky also tweeted this that I thought put it all into context with some tweets from Jeffrey Flanagan. Saying from Lesky here, the Royals, the tweets from Flanagan, quote to me, show the Royals' hand with Bonifacio. He's the guy they don't care if they jerk around. Him being the guy up for this short time, probably till Dozier just gets back, indicates more negative thinking about him than positive, to me anyway. And so that's understandable. Like, I'm glad to know the logic there. I also don't love having a guy that you're constantly just bringing up and sending down over and over again because it's really hard to have any argument for that guy ever getting his footing and getting into a pattern of any sort. But again, to really get that, even as someone who wanted to see Bonifacio from the beginning of the year, just to see if he could do anything with a large sample size of at-bats, he's gotten a large sample size of at-bats in the minors, and he has been atrocious. He's been atrocious. Like, again, the worst out of these qualified 104 guys in a handful of categories. Like, that's miserable. And if they look, if the Royals look at Bonifacio as the guy that can just come up and play a couple of games, fine by me, I guess. It's still kind of a strange choice.
Why not bring Brett Phillips up? Because he, in his last 16 games, I believe he's hitting like
he's
over 300, and he has 9 home runs on the season. I mean, and he is pretty athletic out in the outfield. Might as well, if you're just going to do that and just bring him up for a few games, even if you don't see him as having a future in the major league team, like, why would you not try to get some production out of a guy who's actually been producing in the minors right
now?
Because
you're gonna get the answer to that in like 2 days whenever they send Bonifacio back down, right? Where they legitimately just would say that this timeline is so short that they know that because Dozier was hitting like 2 days ago, like
he took BP yesterday.
He'll be back very soon, and they knew whenever they made this call, I'm assuming here, that it was going to be a couple of days, and why even make Brett Phillips travel that length? Just let him try to get a little bit hotter in the minors, keep see if he keeps the streak up, and then whenever they hopefully move Billy Hamilton for literally anything. Otherwise, I don't know what they're waiting on.
They're not getting jack for Billy Hamilton.
This is the conversation we were having around here last night. If it's not looking to just get a little bit of his salary back, why bother playing him for one single more day? Like, I would have DFA'd him 2 weeks ago at least. I wouldn't even hesitate. But the Royals must believe that they could basically just sell his speed. Like, they have to believe that. Otherwise, there's no reason for him to be on this roster right now, especially for this team specifically. But if they think they can get $45 and, you know, like a couple of new bats for the fact that he's very fast, even then I wonder if these games are worth it. But that has to be the thing that they're thinking. Otherwise, I simply cannot create a reason for why he's still on the team. But if they think they can move him for literally anything, whenever they either move on from Lucas Duda, whenever you get Dozier back and you figure out what you're doing with Cuthbert, like, maybe there's simply enough rotation at some point that they can bring up Brett Phillips, and please bring up Bubba Starling at some point, maybe relatively close together, and start the total overhaul that this team can very well experience. Because there is no reason for all of us to be watching Lucas Duda or Brett Phillips or, frankly, Jorge Bonifacio play not just every day, but literally any day. Like, it's just a nightmare world of their own creation.
And I think Bubba Starling over Brett Phillips, of course, because we all know we've been waiting for this. Royals fans have been waiting for this moment so long, and he's finally getting production in the minors and not hurt, at least as of now, and healthy.
And he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, he has been
hitting
everything over 340. Everything that we are saying about Bonifacio is true for Bubba Starling in the inverse, where all of the struggles, even on a lower level, and not being helpful in the field, and just being generally disastrous, that's the guy that got the call-up. Again, that's because I think we're going to see in a couple of days that Bonifacio is just here for a cup of coffee, and that might be the rest of his career. I would even still prefer this to be Bonifacio's sort of, like, last chance to show that he's a major leaguer, but you need a large sample size for that. I said this at the beginning of the year, though. One thing that the Royals have in spades is time and baseball games. So give Nicky Lopez these everyday at-bats because you want to simply see what he is over the course of several months. I would be very happy to see that with Brett Phillips. They gave that chance to Billy Hamilton. He's thrown it away. They should have given that chance to Brian Goodwin. But now that it's Billy Hamilton, it should be Brett Phillips or it should be Bubba Starling. I would say that it should be Bubba, but the thing that I'm concerned about is that whoever they call up isn't going to get every day at bats. And if you bring up Bubba, he's got to play every single day. This is the entire point, and I don't know what they're waiting for.
I think with Bubba, to your point, they want to make sure he is getting a ton of at-bats. Right, like they don't want to just bring him up and, oh, he'll play every third day. They want him to play consistently, if not every day or every other day.
Well, and how can you expect him to play every day whenever the monolith of Billy Hamilton is in front of him on the depth chart? It's basically the Patriots drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, but as you said, Bubba, when they bring him up, they want to see what he is. They want to see what the verdict is on Bubba Starling, and they want to make sure he has enough at bats to render.
If they want to see what he is, though, why is it June 15th? Like they have all the time in the
Royals in the past have been very slow about bringing guys that have
been. It's 2019. They've already been slow on Bubba. It's 2019.
I'm just saying it's not a surprise to see this. From what the Royals have done in the past in terms of how they go about bringing guys up and how long it takes for guys to get through their minor league system and develop, this isn't a surprise to me at all. And,
yeah, that's fair.
Sometimes it's just hard to kind of look into the mind of one Dayton Moore and see what he's trying to do with the minor league system.
So I will disagree on some level. I don't think it's that hard to get into Dayton Moore's head at this point and to see what he's doing, what he's thinking. Bubba specifically right now is probably an exception for me. Right? I'm genuinely baffled because, again, it's Billy Hamilton. Maybe they're waiting to trade Billy Hamilton, whatever. Which, again, what's the price tag you're looking for there? It's like not driving your new car because you're trying to drive your
probably like a single A arm that's like does not have a lot of upside.
Well, I don't know if they would get a single player back, but sure, yeah, fine. It can be
someone's
50th round pick from
whatever that's what I'm saying. It's going to be
sure, that's fine.
A can of corn, like
that's fine. But couldn't you just no one ready to give that now? Because if you're gonna say lose another month of should be everyday Bubba at bats, that's not worth your BP pitcher in Wilmington. Like that's not. I don't think that's a reasonable thing to be holding out for. Because again, I was gonna say it's not driving the fast car in your garage because you're trying to make sure that your absolute clunker gets out there on a daily basis so you can sell it on Craigslist for $20. I had a car on Craigslist that I sold for. Actually, I didn't put it on Craigslist. I just sold it to a junker for like $100. That car was immobile. It was completely immobile. Whenever I did that, I had my other car and I didn't. I started driving the newer car immediately. And then just waited to sell because I could afford to. If you would have said I either had to figure out a way to keep that other car running or just go ahead and pass on those $100, I would have lit those $100 on fire because that car wasn't working. That car is Billy Hamilton. It's absurd. But to the Dayton Moore point that you mentioned, I don't feel like I have a hard time getting into his head right now. I feel like we see what his philosophy is, and he's been getting C's, D's, and F's for these last couple of years. Like the thing that is, and this is very large scale, and so you can take or leave it for the time being. But on the large scale, whenever you look at the things that Dayton Moore said, and you've got to figure out what you're going to take somebody's word for and what you're going to put importance on and all of that. Whatever Dayton Moore said, you know, they don't want to tank, and tank's probably the wrong word because baseball doesn't tanking. I'm putting in quotes in baseball it's not the NBA. You can't change your league. You can't change the face of the league or the face of your team in one draft, you know, for the next year or 2 years or whatever.
I mean, the Astros did it for like 4 years.
It was over the course of multiple years, right. But there's also still a difference between tanking and spending your assets well, hitting on those picks, and just letting your young guys play. Nothing smells more like tanking than playing Chris Owings every day, which is obviously no longer the case, but was for a very long time, and playing Billy Hamilton every day. Like, that's what tanking looks like. That's not Nicky Lopez and Bubba Starling. Those are the guys that you bring up in a time like this to see what the future looks like. The thing from Dayton Moore before this season that it was has just been very frustrating is that, you know, they make these offseason signings and they bring in all these guys on 1 year deals and to fill up the bullpen, and Brad Boxberger and Willie Peralta are the ones that are sold here to stabilize that unit, and it's just been absolutely disastrous. And Chris Owings and Billy Hamilton, and keeping Billy Hamilton over Brian Goodwin, there are disasters throughout all of this. Where Dayton Moore has said, we are not going to lose 100 games. I'm not going to sit here and let us lose 100 games again. We are going to compete, even if that means spending money on guys that are not a part of the long-term plan, or not giving it back to guys who could be a part of the long-term plan, which you can make Bubba, you can make Brett Phillips. Before this season, I would have said you could have made a Jorge Bonifacio. You can make it Whit Merrifield, wherever he ends up playing. You've made it Nicky Lopez. It can be any of these guys. There are so many guys. It can be O'Hearn getting sent down while Lucas Duda gets reactivated. It can be any of those instances. Those are the moves that you make whenever you want to pretend that you're not the worst team in the league, and you have to actually win some of those games with those guys. You can't play all of those guys I just mentioned and not win. And this year and last year, that's been the stated goal, and they've totally collapsed on that. It's been a total failure. It's like really hard to wrap my head around. I didn't care if the Royals won games this year. Or last year either, for that case. I didn't care if they won games those 2 years they went 500, because those weren't World Series teams. Those weren't even playoff teams. This obviously isn't. But to be this bad while also not fully committing to trying to figure out how your assets for the future play together is really disheartening. And you can get more baseball talk at 5 o'clock with Chris on Baseball Tonight pregame.
Get deep into that.
Who are you talking to today? You're the guest. You know?
Lebo and Bluma, I believe.
There you go.
Possibly. It's either Les or Bluma.
Yeah, the next 4 days are either Les or Bluma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You say, wait a second. 4 days. Those are only two people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Whoever put the schedule together is a bleep hole. I put the schedule together. We had some scheduling conflicts.
It's tough. It's tough. Summers, you know, people taking vacations and don't always have the access.
My apologies to Les and Bluma for having to talk to Chris this weekend and having to talk to me Monday and Tuesday. Tough life for both of them. Whenever we come back, maybe I'll get over yelling at Dayton Moore. I have no idea. It's Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810. If you'd like to chime in, don't call. That's so early 2000s. It's 2019, babies. Let's go ahead and hop on Twitter. What do you say? At Sports Radio 810. We'll see it. Chris is at Chris_Bolig. Most importantly, though, I'm at JB Briscoe. If you want to chime in, you can tweet us and maybe I'll read a tweet. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just continue to replay the video on OJ Simpson's Twitter account and let that be the thing that gets me through the rest of my day. We'll figure it out as we go. Still Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe if you have anything you simply must say. We will talk to Michael Swain of 247sports.com and or fog.net, the Kansas side of 247sports.com. But what's going on with KU right now in the recent past, throughout the offseason altogether? We've talked about that on the larger scale a few times already. With him and Scott Chase and also fog.net and all of that. But a little bit of more recent news with KU that's been pretty interesting. Plus, of course, looking ahead a little bit and wondering, you know, we've gotten a taste of a report that more or less says that the NCAA is coming and hell's coming with them for a few major teams. I don't know if I have any interest or any best guesses as far as predicting what will be coming. It obviously feels like KU is one of the teams that would have plenty of reason to be in the NCAA's crosshairs, because we've seen things with Adidas, and now, I mean, obviously Adidas has been under the microscope from the NCAA for a while. There's everything specifically with Silvio De Sousa. But I also don't know how I don't think it should be seen as a foregone conclusion that KU's heat is coming. Because I look at the fact that they have gone through this Silvio De Sousa story, and he served a punishment, and then was reinstated after a year instead of fulfilling the full two that was originally doled out to him, which I think is silly for the record. That was a 2-year deal at all, and that, frankly, the NCAA's general existence I tend to be more exhausted by than anything. But if you are going to look ahead ever so slightly, I understand if you're a Kansas fan why you would be a little bit nervous, and you probably should be. But I would argue that just about every major program should be nervous pretty much all the time. And, you know, it's not just LSU who it feels like their fire is probably about to rain down from the sky, or Arizona, which feels very obviously in the crosshairs, where I don't think that KU exists on that level at the moment. But they could be there in an hour. I don't know. Or they might never be. I tend to be of the mind that if you are a major college basketball or football program, and frankly, if you're a good one, it's doubly likely, you're going to have violations throughout your program. Not always team ordained, I'm sure, but there's always money exchanging hands whenever you have people that are worth money. So the idea that, you know, the NCAA is going to continue to try to protect amateurism as the rules currently dictate, I guess, is fine. I think the rules at this point are really silly, really archaic, and that should be pretty obvious at this point. But I can look at everything that's the case right now for Kansas and the future altogether, and I think it's pretty clear that everybody should be worried. We'll talk about it with Michael Swaylen every comeback.